Yo guys, it's Luke here from the CNC podcast. If you love all things copywriting, you are in the right place. So grab yourself a coffee and let's do this thing. Hey guys, Luke here. I know it's been a very long time since we've done a podcast, so I apologize. We've both been very busy. Tim, again, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure.
No problem.
So Tim and I both missed podcasting a lot. It's a good chance for us just to get together and chat, talk about copywriting, talk about all the things happening in the digital marketing space. Today's topic, I would say, is very, very relevant in sort of early 2023. There's a lot happening in the AI space. And I was chatting with Tim last week and we were talking about how we both are using AI in our day-to-day job. And I thought it might be a cool kind of podcast topic just to jump in and talk about, you know, how you use the tools, how I use them. I feel like there's definitely a new type of copywriter emerging in this space as well. So maybe we'll jump across to you, Tim, and you can sort of talk me through how you're using AI in your kind of freelancing slash project-based stuff, and then I'll talk to you about how I'm using it as well. So over to you, Tim.
Yeah, for sure. Look, thanks very much for having me again. And look, as we've talked in the past and sort of consistently talk about, is the sort of the rise of AI in copywriting, just content in general. It's not just obviously the written word, but it's also, you know, all the visual stuff that's happening with sort of Stable Diffusion and DALL-E, you know, all of the other things that are out there to generate images as well. Social posting, we've just seen things like Canva drop in a big AI update, not just for their writing, but also for image and content generation. Like, so sort of create one ad or one piece of artwork. It now does it and creates like 16 different versions of that and different formatting things. So we're seeing some really cool things happening in AI, of course. But you're absolutely right. At the core of it, you know, it really comes down to that large language model. It comes down to what can you produce with, you know, a couple of prompts and a few written words there, or a few pointers in the direction of the audience you want, or the targeted group you're looking for, or the type of sentiment even, and how you talk to these things. Absolutely. I have been an early adopter of AI. Actually, let me roll back probably a few years. So 2020, I started my business really to go out inside of freelancing. And at that point, there was just a few rumblings of AI at that point. And they were, you know, sort of really on the cusp of, oh, you know, there's all this AI stuff. And, you know, we saw a few tools pop out here and there. I think one of the early ones was WordTune and two or three others. But so I grabbed on WordTune, had a bit of a look, loved the free version, paid for it for a bit, and I went like, oh, you know what? It's probably not quite there for me to be able to leverage and lean on every day of the week. And I'm really thankful that I didn't, because I think I'm a much stronger writer and have a better concept of writing now that I've, or at least copywriting anyway, having done it for a couple of years myself before adopting the AI piece. But really early on, I was pretty hesitant. I was pretty like sort of like, oh, this copywriting stuff should be done by humans, not by robots. How dare the robot overlords start taking our jobs from us. But then, you know, as time went on, I think it was probably, I got caught up in that wave of just the news cycle where people were like, oh, you know, AI gets really bad, what's going on? I was also a part of a social audio platform called Clubhouse, and there was a little bit of chat about it on there, and there were some people spouting their brains off about all the crazy stuff. You know, if you've got any American listeners, I won't point the finger too hard at them. Anyway, but they were, you know, people from across the pond being very, very kind of inflammatory about what this AI stuff means, and that. And then when we're starting to see those conversations rise in media now, where they're like, you'll get like TikTok videos and YouTube videos and things of people standing on stages going, well, because AI is here, your copywriters, your job is dead in the water, nothing. You can't, if you're a copywriter, stop doing it now and do something else. And that's bullshit. And the reason why it's bullshit is because, yes, these things can write content. Yes, they can create amazingly good sounding kind of boilerplate stuff for you is a great starting point, but it's only a starting point. Everything I've looked at so far, so I'm happy to say I subscribe to ChatGPT, so I'm using the paid version of that. I've definitely tried things like Notion's AI. I've tried the AI from Canva. There's some stuff that ClickUp have produced when it comes down to documents and things in their project management tool. There's a whole heap of different forms of it. I've also tried the free quick samples of a whole heap of other ones like Koala and a heap of others. And they all do a great job. If you just wanted to go like, I want an article or I want a thing about blah, it's going to give you something. Is that something worth it? Could you publish it? Sure. Is it readable? Yes. Is it something that's going to inspire and delight and build belief and have a conversation and have, you know, psychological kind of interludes and methodologies in there baked in to be able to entice a person to actually work an ADA funnel or a PAS model or the before after bridge? No. And that's the reality is that you're going to get in as best as you can get out from that tool. If you just take a single concept and hit it through, say, ChatGPT, and just publish it, you know, and there are plenty of people doing this. And you know what? I've done this. I've done this on my own blog. I've done this in a few other places just to see what the reaction is from an audience. What does it look like if I just publish the raw stuff? Like I've had a quick look over it and I've gone like, it's okay, and published it versus me putting together an article, using it as a tool to be able to generate, whether it be a bit of research or do some extra copy or just a bit of rephrase and reword things, and then copy edit it from top to bottom and get it out there, and what's the reaction? And you know, the reaction between just publishing it raw or actually doing some human stuff to it is like 100-fold. It's so much better when used as a tool to get you off the front page off the blank page, rather than as a tool to generate the final copy. Anyone generating the final copy with it will get somewhere, but you know, is that usable? You know, there's a debate that's going on amongst the copywriting circles at the moment about that.
I literally could not have said it better. It's so funny you say that. My wife and I were having this conversation because she started using ChatGPT. And like she asked me about it. She's like, oh, what's this tool everyone's talking about? I'm like, oh, you know, I showed it to her. And she used it to put together some, like a PowerPoint presentation for some kids, like for our students. And she's like, oh, it's amazing. Like, you know, instead of it taking me 2 hours to put this thing together, it took me 25 minutes. And she's like, is that going to put you out of a job? And I'm like, well, no, hopefully not. But I think that's pretty much how I'm using it too, because I'm similar. I'm using Koala Writer, Agility Writer. I've tested out copy.ai. I'm looking at autoblogging.ai at the moment. And you're right, they all do pretty much the same thing. They all have that backbone of OpenAI and feed off that. But the way I kind of tackle it right now is I'll feed a topic into Koala.sh or Koala Writer, it's called, and Koala Writer will help me build an outline, and I'll tweak that outline based on the things I think a human would want to read about and know about. And then once Koala Writer has produced that article, which is typically about 1500 to 2000 words, I then become copy editor, where it's like, okay, that doesn't sound human at all. You know, that's not relevant. No one cares about that statistic. You know, what are people actually, like if they're typing this into Google or they're doing research on this topic, what do they actually want to read and what's going to keep them engaged? And that's where I think I feel like there is kind of a new like breed of copywriter, I guess would be a good way to say it, where maybe they're not the strongest actual writer, and what they get good at is the prompts to turn that AI writer into a good writer. So it's kind of like I was just saying with Koala, like, you know, if you know a topic generally, you know, like in a general way, and you feed that into whatever AI writer it is, it's going to feed you back whatever prompts you give it and whatever kind of like information that's relevant to that topic. So it's funny, Tim, I actually just watched a video from Matt Diggity, and it was really funny. I'll send you the link to it. I might even link it in the show notes. He became a copywriter. He's obviously very successful and has a lot of stuff going on, but he became a copywriter and he earned, I think his video title was like, earned $450 an hour as a copywriter using like AI. It was really funny. Anyway, and literally all he did was use these tools, these AI tools with Surfer SEO and some other editing tools to take the content and kind of like mold it into something that was like, yeah, I'd be happy to publish that.
Yeah.
And again, all he was really doing was just editing, using Grammarly, using like Hemingway or whatever, all these different tools that can kind of make what ChatGPT gives you into something that's like decent. So I don't think right now, like you couldn't just say, I'm going to publish 20 articles a week directly from an AI tool and expect that to do really well. It's just not going to happen. Google will rank the content, definitely. Like they've already come out and said that as long as it's helpful, they will rank AI content. But I think we both agree that the human element is, how well does this read? Is it engaging? Does it kind of answer the question? Does it bridge the gap between search intent and what people are actually wanting to read? But I kind of find that it just speeds everything up for me. Like, I'm probably like you. I have a general idea of what I want an article or a piece of copy to be about, but sometimes it can just be really hard to get motivated to get started on that. And when you're staring at a blank page or you've only got a few lines written, it's kind of a little bit of overwhelm, and you're just like, oh God, you know, just the fact that I've got to sit here for the next hour and a half or 2 hours and just crunch out words just to get something on a page. Whereas using an AI tool, it speeds that process up tenfold.
Yeah. And I think for me, the where it speeds it up is like, I can copy edit like lightning, like an absolute greased lightning. You can hand me 1,000 words, I can copy edit that really, really fast. And looking for any client that's listening to this, yes, I still charge an hour for that because 1,000 words still takes time to be able to actually look through. But I can go through and absolutely just shred through a piece of copy that's already been pre-written. I can understand, you know, like you said, is this something that a human would read the way this is written? Is this something that's written in a tone of voice that actually matches the tone I'm looking for? Is it something that has the psychological benefit for that piece of information even being in there? Like there's some great, if you look at the copywriting greats, you know, there's plenty of them out there, and I will paraphrase and have no idea who this quote's from. So, you know, please forgive me if I've forgotten this. But, you know, the whole, like the old adage of like, you know, if a line's in a piece of copy you've written is not doing any work, then why is it there? You know, to doing that kind of stuff. Like ChatGPT, beautiful at being able to generate absolute nothing but waffle. Like it can create 10,000 words like in, you know, 2 minutes of just utter bullshit about whatever topic you'd like. And that's the problem, is it's actually probably copy editing through the chaff that's in that to find the gold that's in there as well. The other thing you got to be watch out for when it comes down to copywriting with AIs is fact checking as well, because one of the other big things about large language models are, where's it getting its data from? What's it been trained on? How's it been generated? Like I've been able to prove ChatGPT wrong numerous amounts of times. Just things like I've asked it a simple science question. I said, you know, is liquid oxygen liquid or gas at room temperature? Now, we all know that liquid oxygen needs, you know, some pretty cold temperatures to be able to operate with. So it's about, I think it's minus 127 degrees for oxygen to become liquid. It's around that anyway, and please don't quote me on this because I'd have to look it up again. But it just made a logical jump and it said, oh, well, yeah, of course. So liquid, oxygen is liquid at room temperature because of these two or three other factors in it. That tried to try and almost like convince itself to convince me that this is the truth. So obviously fact checking is a big thing as a part of it as well. But from first ideas to concept to getting something on a page to then copy editing that, and you know, it's not going to be perfect. And even at that point, like taking it through a couple of rounds of revision of your own and getting out a product that you're, as you said, happy to be able to push publish on. But then it's further than that too. So just coming to the point where you're happy to publish it, that's a great thing to get to. But you know, being able to be like really truly happy with it as a piece of content, something that you're going to, you know, be able to, you know, not just sell to a client or get out into the world, but be like really believe in yourself as well. It still takes the human to be able to actually do that bit. And that's probably why we're seeing, I don't know for sure if you've come across the term or not, but we're seeing this new term appear, which is called AIO writer. And that's basically an AI optimized or it's almost like AI assistance writer. So it's the blend. It's the recognition of blend of a person who uses both AI tools and writing on their own behalf to be able to get copy done. Does that change the game when it comes down to how fast things get done? Sure. Does it change the game on how much you can charge for a piece of copywriting? Yeah, I think it does. And it's a big question at the moment. If a client can go generate a piece of content in 10 seconds on their own, why would they pay a copywriter $300 to be able to produce an article that would be of, you know, probably, and I wouldn't say similar quality, but I would say, you know, similar word length, hitting targets, it has keyword, it's got keywords in there, you know. And then how much of the other question I've got really is, how much has copywriting now become less about the copywriting skill and more about the copy editing skill when you add on top of that the ability for a single individual to engineer prompts? And it's more about that prompt generation and engineering. Like, I don't know if you've been alive for the last hot minute, you're going to have seen 1,000 videos on TikTok, you know, tons and tons of news articles about, oh, here's the top 10 prompts to be able to generate this type of content, right? You've got people out there who are basically like, you know, prompt hacking, and they're trying to bend the tools as much as they can. And they're pushing content out there all the time. If you just type in ChatGPT into TikTok, you'll find a million videos on people going like, here's the best prompt to be able to get, you know, product descriptions about shoes now, and how to make it sound like it's Nike, and how to make it sound like it's this type of thing, or how to make it sound like it's written by like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Chris Pratt, or you know, or like in the tone of voice. There's all of that kind of cool stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of questions. That is what I'm trying to say here. There's a lot of questions in the thing. What's it going to do to the industry?
Funny. Tim, I know you've been sort of tinkering with prompts. Do you feel like maybe there is kind of the specialist, the prompt specialist that does the copy side of stuff too? Like, what? Maybe talk about what prompts and stuff you've been working on.
Sure. So, I've been trying to nail down a prompt in ChatGPT. Again, it's probably the tool that I use the most. It's not the tool that I would recommend in any way or you know otherwise advocate for, just that I use it. But so using, it's an interesting open blend of that kind of chat bot model and then obviously generation model. I've used other AI tools like Word Hero and as I said, like WordTune. To conversely talk about Word Hero for a second, it doesn't take a prompt where you go, hey, can you write me this thing? And tell me all about this and ask me questions and whatever else. It's something where you go, here's a title. Can you push a button? And it'll go, oh, I think I could probably write about that, and just starts writing content or providing content to you from the ether about that type of thing, giving you whether it be a structure. So it is really geared towards more like single snapshot outcome rather than sort of that long form chat that you can have with ChatGPT. And there's actually something I'll get onto in a second, which is quite interesting with that as well. From the prompts side of things with ChatGPT, I suppose I've been playing with, as I said, like this kind of ultimate form of prompt where I can go, hey, you're a thing. So you're a copywriter, you're a scientist, you're a sports physician, you're a whatever, right? And so act as that. So first off, can you act as a, you know, world-class copywriter with 10 plus years experience in email marketing? You know, your task here is to create something to do with it. It might be an article about the top 10 reasons why you should start an email list for your business today. You know, that might be the thing. And then giving it a title and a meta title that I've, or a subtitle that I've already come up with myself and pre-written, and then give it all the parameters, sort of saying like, here's what the audience target is, you know, I don't know, anyone with money in their pocket, please come and hire my services. Or it might be, you know, 25 to 30 year olds who have online e-commerce stores, who sell clothing, who are in the lifestyle branding, who, you know, and so you can really like trying to sub niche those different things down, getting all that hammered out, and then also asking it, okay, well, while you're there and you've written this content, well, write me the LinkedIn post that goes with that, and write me the social post that go that for with that for Instagram and Twitter, and give me a five email marketing sequence that goes with that, so I can sell it to my existing cohorts and things. And it does a pretty good job. Like it's still still something that I think, you know, if you were just to raw publish that, would you get somewhere? Maybe, but you know, adding, there's just so much personality and tone that it kind of can miss. And even though you can say, hey, be sassier, be snarkier, have a be really friendly or in a professional tone, or you can change the tone with it as well. And you can ask it to keep reiterating over the tone. It'll eventually get somewhere. Like you can get somewhere with it, but not as fast as you as an individual can sit there and copyright with a couple of years experience behind your belt, or with you know, years and years experience, how fast you can copy edit and rewrite and recopyright over the top of that document or that information that's produced, fact checking along the way. It's still a faster method to be able to do that than spend, you know, 7 hours bashing out a 1500 word article trying to pull resources from every which way you can find. The interesting thing I was going to say before that I wanted to mention, though, was that ChatGPT, I kind of treat it like, excuse me for using this as a term, because it's probably the best way I can explain it. But it's almost like the longer the conversation you have, the more Alzheimer's it gets.
Very true.
So yep. I have been working on a product for a long time. It's a product for a tabletop board game. I'm sure everyone's heard about it. There's a new film that's come out. It's called Dungeons and Dragons. If you haven't heard about it, well, you're probably not alive. So it's a product I've been putting together for that. That has a particular type of information that I'm trying to get it to iterate over, and just not so much for idea generation, but just sort of coming up with some more additional information for. And what I found was when I put that into put my template in, and I built the prompt and got it to start doing the things I wanted it to do, I'd go, oh, can I have another one of these? And it'd go, sure. And it'd produce a really unique new one. And I'd go, can I have another one? And it'd do another one. And then as I got to about the fifth one, it'd go, oh, yeah, no worries. And it'd start reiterating on the first one that it did. And then eventually it just starts to only produce the one thing, because the chat's gone on too long enough. You're either not providing enough context, or you know, it just becomes a bit of it's almost like it just becomes mindless. Like it goes back to just being a robot. It doesn't have any sort of like, you know, not that it has cognition, but any sort of like thought process to go into to say, oh, he wants something that's quite unique. And even if I go, no, give me one that's more that's unique compared to everything here, it still starts to punch out the same sort of information again and again. So it's sort of, as I said, it gets that, like it starts to like almost adopts Alzheimer's as it goes down, that the longer that chat gets. I've also tried to train it to be a bit of a personal assistant. I've said, hey, you're my personal assistant. I'm training you up. Here's about me, about my business, about my thing. And I was even just doing something simple. I'm like, what's the time in Australian Eastern Standard Time? And it'd go, oh, it's 8:07 a.m. And I'm like, well, that's wrong. It goes, okay, well, tell me what the time is. And I'd give it the time, thinking maybe I have to set the time once and it'll be okay. And I'll have a chat to it about a few other things, and then later in the day I'll go, hey, what time is it? Just to be able to see, just to test it out again. And it goes like, oh, it's 8:07 a.m. No, but I told you it was 10 a.m. before. Oh, I'm sorry, what time is it again? And it doesn't have a good concept of even like the timing between how long it took to do things. And so as a personal assistant, it's probably kind of useless. The only caveat to this is there is a new one new thing that's out there in the world called AutoGPT. And it's kind of a script that goes on top of GPT that then gives it sort of permanent memory storage. And it really changes the way, like if there's a guy on TikTok right now who's using that to create a video game. So he's written a book And he's given it the whole book. And he said, right, read this, learn how to use Blender, learn how to use the Unreal Engine, make me a video game. Hmm. And he's now documenting how, like, what it's doing basically every day. And I think he's down to his, like, he's into 2 weeks now, I think. And, you know, it's trying to teach itself how to use Blender and all sorts of stuff. Because other than storage, it can also connect to, you know, any web resource and app, which is kind of sounds really dangerous. And we're all about to get Skynet, but it's quite not a Terminator 2 outcome, I think, in this case. As much as, you know, there's videos of Elon Musk sitting there, like, you know, almost terrified in fear, talking to an interviewer about how it's going to be the downfall of man. But, you know, so, yeah, where to go from here, I suppose. Like, I think prompt generation and being able to use it in unique ways, and it, like, I think you're right, there is, it's not just a skill set, there's a whole job role there.
I think so too.
Yeah. I see corporates, big business, especially for things like internal comms and some other parts there, really being able to leverage this. Even, like, you know, my partner, she's a secondary school teacher, and, you know, having that as an ability to be able to go, hey, can you give me, you know, 17 questions on the historical facts of, I don't know, ancient Mesopotamia or something, to get her to be able to go, cool, okay, quick read over it. They're all great questions. I don't want question 15 and 16. I'll take them out, pop them into a pop quiz for the kids. You know, even just to just speed up those sorts of things. I think that's where that prompt engineer, and I hate to call it that because I think it's actually a really wanky term, but some form of prompt engineer role, I think, yeah, absolutely exists in the future. It's, and if it doesn't exist in the future, it should be here now. It should exist now.
Mm. So with AutoGPT, like, is that like a paid thing, or is it made by the same people?
No. So OpenAI definitely make ChatGPT and Dali and a few other things. AutoGPT is just a script you can download off GitHub. So it still requires some technical knowledge to be able to get it up and running, but it's fairly well documented on the GitHub page, and you can easily just install it on your, like, Mac laptop. I've got a laptop here, which is my old laptop, that I'm going to almost dedicate to it in the next week or so. I've rebuilt it already. I'm just going to install AutoGPT on it, and it'll be my right-hand assistant. So instead of just my main laptop I'm talking to you on, I'll probably take that around with me as well and plug it in and use it as my personal assistant at the same time, because I can also give it my calendar, I can give it my ClickUp, I can give it my project feeds, I can give it my email comms. There's people out there who have just, like, you know, if you definitely Google it or have a look at it on TikTok, because you'll find lots of about it. Like, there's a guy who said, like, you know, oh, I want to make $1 million to AutoGPT. Here's a bank account. Here's $500 in the bank account. Go ahead. And it had, like, registered a domain for him. It went off and did, or it prompted him to do a few things. It started writing cold outreach emails to clients that it had identified as being a target. So there's lots of, it's basically, it was acting, and this is the important bit, it was acting at, you know, like, almost a VA level. It was doing what a virtual assistant would do. And I'm not talking about a technology piece, I'm talking about, like, the human job called virtual assistant, where you've got people working remotely for you. It was basically doing that as a thing sitting on a desk. And that's probably where I'm interested in it, is not to, you know, rule the world or make $1 million out of it, but use it as a way to be able to augment my content creation for my own business, to act as a VA, to handle those little tasks that I don't really need to worry about too much at that point. As long as it does them at an okay level, I'll be keeping a very close eye on it, because if it starts writing, like, sweary emails and things at my client, well, you know, I might have to clock it back and cut it off
of the turn it off of it.
Well, yeah, or just not, you know, because that would be pretty bad. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, so here's, maybe we'll finish on this question, Tim. So if you go and hire a copywriter, depending on where you get them from, you know, Upwork or freelancing sites or whatever, your typical rate to hire someone, depending on their experience and what they're writing and stuff like that, you're going to probably pay about 6 cents a word. Again, depends what you're doing. Could be a project-based thing, but, you know, if you just go and hire someone from one of those freelancing sites, the going rate is somewhere between, I think it's 4 and 6 cents. Let's say you kind of go out into the world and you say, all right, I am an AI assisted copywriting specialist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you work with, you know, ChatGPT and Jasper and all these different tools. How do you charge the same? Do you charge less? Do you charge more? What do you think about it? What's your kind of take on it?
Hey, look, it's a great question. And there's a, you've waded in an ethical minefield, which could be, you know, another whole, like probably three podcasts, let alone one. My take on it's really simple. And that is, I'm happy to be able to tell anyone that I use these tools, whether it be my clients, whether it be anyone else. The difference between my client using or someone off the street or just a business using this to be able to generate content versus a copywriter who has some chops, some background, some experience, some knowledge about how not just modeling, but then psychology and you know, all of that kind of stuff goes together. Like it might just be something simple like, you know, email segmentation, just how to be able to properly craft for that kind of thing. The difference between the business doing that and me doing that is huge. So even though, yes, we might have both the same common tool, I'm still going to get a better result out of it because I've spent the time at the coalface to learn how the tool works. I've also spent more time, you know, in the weeds, actually doing the job prior to having access to copywriting tools or access to AI tools. The same argument could be made about Word. A business could use Word and I use Google Docs. Great. Are they AI imbued? Well, I mean, not yet, but they're about to be. But someone having the access to the same tool doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get the same content and all the same level of expertise out. Mm. Like I wouldn't expect a person who's a builder, as an example, whose wife uses ChatGPT to be able to generate some marketing material. I wouldn't expect either the builder or his wife to be able to copy edit as fast as I can to the same quality level as I can, understanding all the things of, you know, English grammar and diction and mm-hmm. you know, positioning and different ways to be able to rephrase things. Yes, ChatGPT has an acknowledgement of that. Yes, it understands some like English or the rules of punctuation in English to a point, but there are still some of the very finer points that it doesn't understand as well. Even if it's just simple things like formatting and structure, it can get really wrong when it comes down to a piece of content. So am I happy to be able, I've actually even toyed with putting, you know, AIO writer in my title on LinkedIn for that purpose, because I think, is there an unethical way you could use these as a copywriter? Sure, you could sit there and just punch out content all day, charge an absolute bottom rate, and you know, make a million bucks out of it. Yeah, you could do that. But the other side of things is you're every time you do it, you're continually hurting your bottom line, because the level of content that you get to be pushing out, the quality of the content, the value that content has is you know, diminished compared to a person who actually can do the job. And just using the tool with a copywriter is, you know, fantastic. I think I put something out on LinkedIn a while ago, and I said, you know, AI copywriting isn't dead. Sorry, I shut that again. I started to say copywriting isn't dead because of AI. What I said was, you know, AI by itself, pretty good. You know, AI plus copywriter equals pure gold. Like it's just, I can't even begin to explain how much more synergy happens between, you know, just a piece of written content and the fact that you can, even on ChatGPT, hence why I use it, just to be able to recontextualize a question and say, hey, you know, paragraph 3 is actually a bit wrong. Can you rewrite it with this tone instead? And really recraft the thing before you then go tooth and comb and go right from the top of every word and every single component of that document and getting it really tuned in. Can you charge differently? That's a great question. I don't think I'm qualified to answer that right at this point in particular. It is so new. It's something that, like, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there writing 3 to 7 email sequences and charging, you know, 10 grand for that written by ChatGPT. with a little bit of finesse in the back end of it. And because really what they're selling isn't actually the writing, what they're selling is the skill to be able to either produce that in the first place or, you know, wire it into a person's background email campaign to be able to generate them an XYZ component of their business. So there's too many factored variables to be able to understand right now about whether it's good or bad. I know that there's a bit of a rise of copywriters even on LinkedIn that are going, you know, they've put on their little circle, you know how sometimes it says open to work, they've put on their you know, like do not use or doesn't use AI instead as a around the ring. And that's cool because there's going to be both types of client. Someone who doesn't care and just wants a result, and some people who do care and they really want that personal singular touch. They're willing to pay a higher price point. And that's the thing, is that they're going to continue to pay a higher price point. So your seven email sequence that took a person a day to be able to write out a really good strategy and the seven sequence and get it to them in a day or two versus the person who's going to take 2 weeks to do that. You know, they're going to charge a higher rate. They're going to be a different price point. And it all factors in. It absolutely all factors in.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. It will depend entirely on what the client or whoever it is that the copy's been put together for. Like,
yeah, I offer my clients, or I shouldn't say that I haven't yet, but I am about to offer my clients two price points for service.
Yeah.
One of them will be AI assisted. One of them will be without. I can tell you what they'll all take nearly 80% of the time, and that'll be AI assisted. Because I'll say, hey, you know, I can generate this a lot faster if I use AI. Do you mind me generating that? And I think it's a conscious opt-in that I think a client should be able to make.
I agree.
Rather than just say, oh, well, no, I just use it flat out. Here you go. Here's the copy. Mm. Because, you know, if it does come back to it, you still need to be able to also prove your sources if that gets queried. I don't know of any copywriter having a legal issue with using AI tools in using copy. But I'm sure that there'll be a landmark case sometime. I know there's already landmark cases and other things against AI written material. There's several people suing OpenAI about like defamatory stuff that ChatGPT has created. That said, though, it is still also on the journalist who's published it to have fact-checked it and didn't fact-check it well. So technically, it's actually not on ChatGPT or OpenAI. It's on the journo who said, yeah, this looks great, publish. You know,
yeah, that's exactly
right. And I think that's the trick here, is that if you are a copywriter who is going to use these tools, if you are a client who's going to use it, if you are anyone who's going to push the publish button on the end of it, the legal bit is actually when you push the publish button and get it out into the world. When it is available and that written word is, you know, something that can be really highly accessible and indexed and put on Google and everything like that, that's where that legal issue starts to really take hold. So, you know, use it all you can. Be careful though. That's probably the big takeaway from that.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting topic. It's like I had no interest in AI probably a couple of months ago, and then just kind of seeing how quickly it's evolved, and like the tools are amazing. They're so cool what you can do with them, and there's still, like you kind of said, you know, you wouldn't want to be relying on it for everything, like, because it's still not quite there. It's not, the facts are wrong. There's a lot of fluff. You got to edit. It repeats itself a lot. It's still early days for it. But yeah, I just kind of love kind of using it as a way to just do the things in copywriting that I don't like. Like, you know, like, Here's instructions on how to do this. Here's a table that does this, and just getting ChatGPT to kind of do 80% of the work for me and then finessing it and stuff like that. It's kind of, yeah, it's all about speed. So, yeah, really interesting. Maybe we'll revisit this in like 12 months and things will be completely different.
But by that time, we'll all have, you know, jetpacks and hover cars. So
it's, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Totally. Like, there'll be at least five Teslas in my driveway. You know, why not? Awesome. Yeah, it's a strange new world that's definitely going into. Mm. Actually, one thing you did spark in my brain before was that I meant to say was, having been exposed to ChatGPT, having been exposed now to so many AI tools, As much as there are these plagiarism checkers that are out there, like, oh, you know, you can do these things, you can run it through and go, is it written by AI or not? It's really funny. The more you get exposed to this stuff, the more you actually see just what it produces, the faster you can just point at a piece of copy and go, no one, like a person didn't write that. You know, you can just see it. It's actually, and I think that's the bit that if any copywriter who's listening to this is going to take away from it, learn the craft before you relying on using AI, because it's not just a better idea. You'll be able to spot when something's not been written by a human as well.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. And that's, which makes you a better copywriter, really.
Because exactly.
When you do, if you do start to leverage the tools, you can just rip through it so quickly. Because you, like, let's say you got a really big long article, it's 3,000 words, it's from AI. You're just going to, you know, crush through that, rip out so much fluff and like repeated stuff. And like, yeah. I noticed, like, I was using it today, I noticed that anytime it did a subheading, it'd summarize it and go, overall, da 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 da. And it's just like, well, you just literally just repeated from the previous, you know, subheading. Yeah. So like, scrap that. It's
I put into ChatGPT often, and like my tone for my own writing is very, it's informal and poppy and kind of punchy. It's in your face, and I'd like, you know, it's a little sweary and a bit kind of, you know, exciting in that kind of sense. So I often use, like, you know, I'll say to it, like, be sassy, be snarky, be you know, conversational and witty and humorous and that kind of stuff. And it does a fair, like, facsimile of doing sort of the sort of things I might say. But the only thing that really shits me with it is that intros that on an article, it'll be like, yep, great, today we're going to talk about this. It's going to be great. It's this, like, get ready for a sassy, snarky, humorous, witty, optimistic ride. You've just told me everything I gave you was a prompt, you idiot. And then then the very next thing it always says is like, buckle up, buttercup. And I'm like, that's not, I would never say that, go away. No. So I actually have to tell it specifically, don't say buckle up, buttercup. So then it just then makes a derivative of that again. So every time I look at writing an article for myself with it, I'm always like deleting that shit out of the top of it. It's just like, come on.
It kind of sometimes feels like you're dealing with like, and you know, like a teenager that's just stepped into your office, and you kind of go on, okay, are we going to write this article for me? And you get this article back, and you're like, you've just basically just copied exactly what I told you to
like,
say.
Like, it's okay, but and then like, it's always like, if you don't tell it to like rewrite things, like even contractions, just something as simple as contractions. If you don't say use contractions, so it's saying, you know, if no one, any copywriter out there should know what I'm talking about. For anyone else, that's where you, instead of saying it is, you're saying it's and using apostrophes and things in the right way. It won't use them at all. It just sounds like that, like everything sounds like a dirt boring Wikipedia article if you don't give it a couple of small little things to finesse.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Tim, we'll wrap it up, mate.
Absolutely.
That was fun. Let's try and do next week as well. All going well.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm up for like producing a bit of a series and this sort of stuff. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, it'd be good. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Cheers. It's still recording anyway. So hang on. I'll stop the manage recording. Stop. Yep. Stop.